Hit me with that again.
I'm a dude. You're a dude. We're all dudes.
Yes.
Hey there, Stony Bolognese and Baked Alaskas.
We're not recording yet.
We're not? You told me to give that to you again.
Actually, we are.
Fucker.
Hey, guys. I'm surprised I even got this thing together today.
We are mellowed out. Mellow mushrooms.
But you know what time it is.
And now, for something completely different.
Hello there again, Stony Bolognese and Baked Alaskas. Thank you for coming back to us. We are always surprised that you keep listening and, of course, very, very grateful.
Very grateful.
Well, you know, the last few episodes have been with our pod guests, and we thought we would take it back to each other. And, you know, we did come back from vacation and kind of, we're taking things as they are, testing the waters, the podcast buffet, as one would say.
Yes, the buffet.
Trying to see what we like to talk about.
But first, let's hit the big elephant in the room right now. We're on shrooms.
Big old shrooms.
It's been a good day.
It's been a great day. It's been a not so great few weeks. Just mental health, literally physically not feeling well. Stress of life, all that shit, and it is amazing what some psilocybin can do to you.
Hell to the yes.
Honestly, if you can microdose or get your hands on some shroomies, it really is a great experience. Few tips, be with people you trust, stay hydrated, and do things that just fuel your serotonin.
Oh, most definitely. Only thing we're missing today was puppies.
We got cats. They were kind of distant today, though.
Yeah, well, we weren't really around.
True.
We found a little hole in the wall, a little Filipino place.
Yeah, well, actually, today was just a good day. I am a basic-ass bitch who loves fall and Halloween. I am a Libra, so this is my season. Well, it's actually Virgo season, but it's fall, and fall baby, air sign. So I'm thriving, even if the weather is not cooperating. And so today we were like, let's redo our patio. We've been wanting to redo our patio. It wasn't suitable for our chill out needs. It wasn't really effective out there. And we got some great deals. Got that going, got it set up. Got some of the millions of decorations out of storage, the fall and Halloween decorations. Quickly got overwhelmed by that.
Really quickly.
My mom surprised us by delivering some bagels, and they were from Einstein's. Yeah, which is,
shout out to Einstein.
Oh, if you haven't had them before, they're amazing. And then we went back out because we wanted some Filipino food. Actually, I wanted Filipino food. He had not had any. And so we looked up this place that got some great reviews. Well, they were closed because they were at an Asian festival. And then the other places we wanted to go to.
The Filipino festival.
The Filipino festival. Yeah, okay. Festival. And then another place we tried to go to was just crazy busy. And so when we went to that other place, we saw a little hole in the wall Filipino place. And when we say it was a hole in the wall,
it was a hole in the wall.
It was half of it was like possibly a dry cleaners that got abandoned dry or cleaners, something. There was a disco ball in the ceiling.
There was a stage where the dry cleaner was at.
Yeah. Hello, Simon. That's our cat, Simon. And, you know, the food was bomb. We had some lumpia, and then that's pretty much all we can tell you because the lady was the cutest thing ever, but she was mumbling. Bright blue eyeshadow. Yes, but she was mumbling so bad, And we were like, sure, we'll take that. And so we end up just with like a feast of noodles, lumpia, and some like pot roast stuff. I don't know. It was fucking incredible.
It was awesome. It was really, 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 really good.
Yes. And then we made our way back home, chilled at our patio, smoked a little bit, podcasting with y'all. And then what's after this?
Well, we are. Oh, what's after the podcast? Mm-hmm. Oh, House of Dragons, of course.
House of Dragons.
It's going to be awesome. House
Targaryen. Seriously, we are just like mega nerds.
Mega.
Yes. Our cat's name is Daenerys from Game of Thrones. And my car is Khaleesi. So obviously, I have a fucking major ass crush on her, but. To each their own. I am definitely a fan of the Targaryens and their fucked up ancestry.
Oh, yeah.
Their single-use bloodline.
The things they do to go, you know, to keep the bloodline pure.
Game of Thrones, brutal show. Not, you know, that's not a surprise. House of Dragons somehow has already topped it.
In oh, its yeah. brutalness. Most definitely.
Within the first two episodes now.
Yes.
This is going to be the third one. So... yeah, definitely a 10 out of 10 recommend if you are a mega nerd and you have missed that Game of Thrones energy. So we just had to take a little break because that big old boy that you guys heard on the microphone, Simon, took a rowdy shit.
Oh, yeah, that was his victory wail. And he had, as the smell hit us, it was horrible. So we had to light a candle, get that out.
We
of
just
here.
Looked at each other and we're like, oh, God, he fucking took a rowdy shit. This big motherfucker, time. You know, most cats, they bury their shit. That's just a disclaimer. If you're not a cat person, if you are a cat person, you're like, yep. Well, this motherfucker likes to just shit and not bury it and instead scratch his paws on the side of the litter box for an obscenely long amount of time. And then just his shit perfumes our entire living space.
Right. It really drowns out any other smell here in the Moose Out Front Studios.
He should have told you.
Should have told you. All right. Well, today we're going to do a little something different. This podcast has been all over the place. So we're just going to take
like
it.
One,
yeah, just like us. We're going to take it one more place while we're on shrooms and see how interesting this gets. I'm going to tell a story of it. It's not a murder mystery. It's not. It's more of a true crime thing yes. that happened.
The inspiration of us dabbling in this is we're both very into true crime, supernatural, shit like that. And we are really into Morbid Podcast. And we'll give a free shout out to them because they're incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely take a listen. My Fair Murder is great. And then also, what is it? Serial is good. And then the other one that you also started getting into. It's been around for a while.
I have no idea.
The one with Ashley. Whatever. We'll cut all that shit out.
Sorry, dead air. I'm just staring her down into her soul. I have no idea what, you know, I got my, hold on. Let's do this.
Oh, it's fine. We'll put it in the show notes maybe if we remember.
Right.
But ultimately, you guys know the true crime podcasts that are out there. This is nothing new. We're not trying to necessarily do that. What we're doing is whatever the fuck we want to do because we're two people who, well, no. We're two stoners who just take us where the trip takes us. And if our imagination says, let's talk about murders this week,
then we'll talk about murders. Well, the reason I picked this one is because this one happened and where I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. And I was living down in Florida at the time. And the fact that it made it, you know, national news all the way down in Florida, you know, got me really interested in the case. And just the details on the case is something else. And most of this stuff, actually, I'm sorry. Pretty much all of this I pulled off of the confession.
Right.
Yeah. There was the newspaper up there printed.
The requiquois.
The newspaper up there printed out the confession. So I read it. And so it's basically a lot of it's verbatim. You know, a lot of it is his thoughts that he gave during the confession. You know, I didn't watch the court. You know, I didn't follow the court case. I do know what he got sentenced for at the end, but.
And I know nothing.
Yeah, and son over here knows nothing at all.
I'm chilling like a villain, reacting at the same pace you guys are.
All right, well, here we go. On Friday, February 9th, 2007.
Oh, this is recent. Well, not recent, but...
In Macomb County, Michigan, Tara Lynn Grant, a mother of two children ages 7 and 3, and also a successful and up-and-coming consultant with a Washington-based engineering firm with offices around the world, came home from one of her many business trips to her husband, Stephen Grant. Tara and Stephen, you know, they've been arguing over the phone earlier in the day.
Oh, God.
Over her travels for business and how much time she has been spending away from home due to work commitments.
So she's playing in a man's world.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like that.
Yeah, and this is 2009, so this is, you know, it's...
I thought I said 2007.
Yeah, 2007. Shrooms for the win. So 2007, where so it was still hard, you know, harder than...
It's, yeah, the gender roles were...
Right, right. The gender roles are very much, you know, man...
In the binary.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yes, it is.
So anyway, she was gone so much that the Grants had to hire a 19-year-old nanny to help care for the children for about the last year. After she after Tara arrived home on Friday evening, her and Stephen continued to argue over the fact that she was gone all the time.
You're gone all the time, and then my 19-year-old can't suck my dick fast enough.
Well, we'll get to that. Well, while Stephen was getting undressed for bed and while Tara was unpacking, she told him that she was thinking about leaving Sunday night for another business travel with her business partner, Lou. This was after she had told them she was going to stop working so much and be home more with the children more often.
She was just saying that to get him to shut up.
After he told her no, she said that she was going anyways and she was meeting Lou there.
Yeah.
So since he was going, she had to go, she informed Stephen. Stephen voiced his displeasure at her, saying that she spends too much time with Lou, her coworker, and not enough time with him at home.
Oh, gosh.
Tara came back upstairs into the bedroom and in front of a naked Stephen because he had been getting ready for bed. Fuck off. Too bad. I got to do what I have to do for my job. As Tara turned to walk away, Stephen grabbed her wrist, telling her, just stop it, you're not going anywhere. So this time he's got her by the wrist, holding her, telling her, you're not going anywhere.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to finish this conversation. Well, Tara, of course, like anybody, not taking kindly to being grabbed, turned around and slapped Stephen across the face.
Yeah, she's like, fuck you, dude.
Obviously enraged by being slapped by Tara.
Yep.
Stephen then hit Tara in the face.
Oh, gosh.
She fell backwards, hitting her head on the floor, but still conscious, she glared at Stephen, telling him, that's it. I'm going to take the kids. You're going to be fucking homeless. You're a piece of shit.
Duh, she's a fucking moneymaker. She's like, enough of you and your jealousy and your fuckboyness. Bye-bye. And bye now bye. You touched me? Bye.
Yep. As Tara's starting to get back up, Stephen kneels down, grabs her by the throat.
Oh, Lord.
She starts to yell at him, telling him it's over. She's going to take the kids because he hit her. Stephen blares out, no, you hit me first. Tara tells him it doesn't matter. Cops are going to believe me. Which, it doesn't matter who hits who. Somebody's going to jail. 9 times out of 10 is going to be the man.
Well, he started it. He grabbed her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he grabbed her and...
Well, and then he shoved her on the floor.
And well, he hit her on the floor.
Oh, yes.
By
and
this
then
time,
she fell on the floor because he hit her.
And by this time, he's kneeling down. Like, he's got her. Well, he's not choking her yet.
He's
got her by the throat.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, you know, while she's trying to get up.
Oh, God.
So overcome with the rage again, this time Stephen begins to tighten his grip on Tara's throat, choking her. As she is fighting back, grabbing Stephen's hand, he grabs a gray t-shirt so he doesn't have to look at Tara as her body goes limp and she dies by his hand in the master bedroom.
And this motherfucker's naked too, isn't he?
Buck-ass naked. Just choked his wife, put a t-shirt over her face so he wouldn't have to look at her in the eye while he killed her.
You know how hard it is to choke somebody out? Holy shit.
Well, he did it with one hand.
He was on some roids.
He was on something.
Jeez.
Well, at this time, looking down at his dead wife, Stephen realizes, fuck.
I just killed her.
Yeah, and I'm going to prison. So he went downstairs, started crying on the couch, and the realization of what that he has done. So he's down there on the couch, naked. His wife's upstairs. Kids are still in the bedroom sleeping. The kids were home. He'd already put them to bed.
Mommy's asleep for eternity. I'm just going to cry like a crazy golem on the couch. Well,
they haven't heard anything. They're still sleeping. They haven't heard a damn thing. Or if they did, they stayed in their rooms. So suddenly, at this point, Stephen remembers that the nanny, which is named, her name is Verena. She's a German au pair.
Oh, okay.
We all know about them.
Goofin' doofin' shoopin' doobin'.
With whom he was having an affair with.
Yeah, there we go.
Was due to come over that evening. They had been text messaging back and forth as Stephen told her not to come over because Tara was home. Knowing that if she came at that time, she would see everything that he had done. He's got himself in deep shit at this point.
I'm like, fuck.
He couldn't convince her to stay away, so he went back upstairs to Tara's dead body to figure out how to hide his crime.
Oh my God, and he's gonna fuck this little girl in the room with the dead body? Oh no!
So.
Oh God, it gets worse.
Oh yeah. Well, at this point, he tries to move her. And he realizes that she's just too heavy for him to pick up.
Oh gosh.
So he goes to.
Oh, no.
He goes to the closet and grabs a belt.
Oh God, and he's gonna drag her.
Yep. Wraps it around her neck, tightens it.
This motherfucker loves a neck. Gosh.
Picks it up, starts dragging her out of the bedroom, down a flight of stairs, out to the garage to her SUV. He's completely naked still at this point.
Homie said fuck clothing. Yeah. Ew.
As he was still using the belt. It's still wrapped around her neck. You know, but if she's not dead, she's...
dead now.
Yeah, she's dead now. Tries to pick her up to put her lifeless body into the back of her SUV. The belt breaks. At this point, her body falls. Her head hits the cement with a sound like a watermelon hitting the ground.
And she's going to bleed everywhere.
There's no blood. No blood.
Just blunt force trauma and choking. Cool.
But imagine the sound if you drop a watermelon.
Dunk.
Yeah. On just a. Yeah.
High risk Pixar for voice animations.
Pardon me, guys. I got my little, my throat's like acting up. So I'm not used to talking this much.
He sucked on a ghost dick.
Oh, shit.
That was a good puppy.
So the body falls, head hits the floor like a dropped watermelon. You know, at this point, her skull is cracked open. If she wasn't dead before, she wasn't dead when he drug her down the stairs by her neck with a belt. She's definitely dead now.
You know, so she triple dead.
She triple dead. So he finally gets her picked up, puts her in the back of her SUV. Goes to his car, his Jeep Wagoneer, grabs a cargo liner out of it, throws it on top of the body inside of her truck, walks back into the house. As soon as the door closes, he hears a garage door opener. The garage door opens up.
Did he put her on the garage door opener?
No. Verena came home. She just missed seeing him with that dead body naked in the garage by mere minutes. Mere minutes.
And she's like, oh, Father Vader, you're ready for me already.
Well, once he hears the garage door open, you know, into the house, he tells Verena, go, just go. Confused, Verena asks Stephen, says, what do you mean? Stephen says, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were Tara. Come back, please. Well, if Rain asked her, well, where does she go? Well, with his dead wife's body just feet away in the garage, he tells Rena that she turned around, got into a car at the end of the driveway, then left. You see, he needed an alibi, and telling Verena all this was his way of having someone to back up his story.
Goddamn.
So he then comes up with the idea of the story and tells Verena that Tara had slapped him after he called her a whore, then she left. You know, Verena had really no reason not to believe it, so she believed it. Then they spent the night together in the same bed.
Let me fuck you where I killed my wife. Yeah.
Well, in Stephen's confession, he says nothing happened between them two that night, but we may never really know.
This motherfucker lies. He killed his wife. He strangled his wife, dragged her with a belt, and thunked her head like a goddamn watermelon. He fucked the au pair. Okay? There's no moral line anymore. He came where his dead-ass wife was.
Yep.
Probably crazy. More than once.
Oh, it's just crazy. Dog.
Fucking shit.
So that was on Friday night.
Oh, gosh.
So Saturday morning, Stephen.
And the kids.
Kids still don't know nothing.
Gosh. Can they give us a secret? Giving them whiskey?
On Saturday morning, Stephen got up to run errands just like a normal day.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go to Target after murdering our wife.
Well, he took his Jeep Comanche out and left his dead wife's body at home in the SUV while Verena slept upstairs in Stephen and Tara's bed. And the kids slept upstairs. So it is cold in Michigan at this point. It's mid-February. So, I mean, we're talking freezing temperatures. So the body's not going to decompose.
But he's just, what errands is he running?
Just as usual, Saturday morning errands. He usually runs, gets the paper.
Gotta get some toilet paper. Gotta do, wow, this fucker's like, all right, already living life.
Well, this.
Hey there, Baked Alaskas and Stony Balonies. It's Sun, and we want to say that we love you oh so much. And do you like what you hear? Well, then show us some damn love. Go to our podcast description in our show notes, and you can click a link on there and get us some coffee. Because, you know, everyone loves caffeine, and we especially love it. So come show us some love, buy us some coffee, and you will be our new favorite person. XOXO! Hey there, Stony Balonies and Baked Alaskas. It's Sun here. And if you're a bad bitch, which I know all of you are, then you're going to follow us on our new Instagram account. That's Sun and Moon's Midnight Snack. That's SunMoonsMidnightSnack. Sun and Moon's Midnight Snack. Follow us for info, insight, and a whole lot of love. See y'all there.
Time he, you know, he realizes he needs to do something while he's driving around, so he comes up with a plan. Originally, he was going to dispose of her body on Saturday night, but he didn't do it. Instead, he stayed at home with Farina and the kids and did their thing.
That was the first night or the second night? That's what he
did.
That
was Saturday night. So on Sunday morning, 2 days after Tara's death, he loads up Tara's SUV with a blue plastic tarp, a bow saw for cutting tree limbs, a Rubbermaid storage tote, garbage bags, and drove to the machine shop that his dad owned. So after telling Verena that he had to go out for a while and then calling his father to make sure that he wasn't going to be in the shop that day, because, you know, most machine shops are closed on Sundays, he headed out. Pulling up to the shop, he opens the door, backs his truck in, lays out the tarp, and pull Tara's cold, stiff body out that had started to bloat.
Oh, my gosh. And you know that she's probably shit as well. Shit and pissed at some point.
Oh, yeah, probably.
That's an immediate thing that happens. Yeah. God damn. Did he take her SUV?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's where he threw the body. Because that's where
she was.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And you know she's had to smell.
No, well, it's cold. Maybe not.
Yeah, it was cold. Oh my God.
So weighing the four corners of the tarp down so it wouldn't move, Stephen grabbed Tara's wrist
Oh my gosh.
Took a deep breath and started to try to cut her hand off with the bow saw. Now, this is a bow saw for cutting tree limbs. So you're looking at blades that are probably inch and a half apart, you know, for cutting wood, cutting tree limbs. Not made to cut through bone and flesh.
No.
No, not at all.
Not well, at least.
So realizing the saw...
And those are usually dull blades, too, for the most part.
Yeah, well, they're rough cuts. They're made for cutting through wood. They're not made for doing pretty cuts, fine cuts, anything like that.
There's human cuts.
Human cuts. They're not for cutting through meat, clothing, or anything else, you know. But he had stripped her, you know. He had taken her shirt off and everything else like that. So she was naked from the waist up at this point. He couldn't get her pants off because she had bloated so much.
Wow. Poor Tara. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
She was just making boss moves. Trying to get that bread for her family. And now she's naked in a fucking wood shop of her father-in-law's.
Yeah. Machine shop, yeah.
A machine shop while her fucking slimy fucking murdering ass husband is chopping her up.
It gets worse.
Oh, Lord. Jeez. So,
realizing the saw wouldn't cut through her bones, he began to panic. Stevens washed his hands off. He went back to the truck, grabbed a blanket, a pint of liquor, and Tara's laptop, phone, briefcase, and other personal items that she wouldn't leave the house without. So he shredded the papers, used the bandsaw in the shop to cut the laptop up to dispose of these items, put them all in a paper bag, which included her purse. All the time thinking to himself is, I killed my wife, I killed my wife, I killed my wife.
Now he's thinking about it 2 days later.
Yes.
He came enough in his fucking little girlfriend. He's like, oh, I can start thinking again.
Well, he decided to look around the shop for a tool, for a hacksaw that he could use. Not being able to find one, he remembers a trick that his dad taught him.
Oh, gosh.
One time his dad needed to cut a small piece of metal, saying he didn't have a hacksaw, so he took a broken bandsaw blade, wrapped some rag around the end, you know, for a handle, and used that to cut the metal with. So, Steven looks in the garbage, sure as shit, there's a broken bandsaw blade. So he grabs it, wraps some a rag around one end of it, and starts cutting into Tara's body, starts cutting into her wrist. It works. So at that point, he grabbed a brand new blade, because that one dulled really quick, and broke it up into sections, and then cut off her arms, her head. He could only get her pants ripped up the side so much, you know, so far, and then he cut her legs off.
Now what's he going to do with her now that she's fucking charcuteried up? Fucker.
See why this, I got so interested in this case?
Yeah, because he didn't need to do that.
No. He then wrapped all the body parts in plastic and garbage bags, put them in the Rubbermaid container, loaded them back into the SUV. Drove home and stayed there entire night flirting with Verena and playing with his two children. With Tara's body downstairs in the garage.
And fucking, like, leftover containers.
No, a big, like the containers we have for our decorations.
Oh my God. Yeah. And storage bins.
Yep. So yeah, I think a big Rubbermaid storage bin that you would store decorations in. That's what he'd put them in. So Monday morning, 3 a.m., 3 days after Stephen murdered his wife, he loads a sled into Tara's SUV, then drives around trying to find a place to dispose of her body. First, he thinks about a dumpster, then realizes that the garbage man would probably notice the body. Then he has an idea. They lived right at Stony Creek Park, which is a big metro park. You know, big, lots of woods, lots of trails, lots of places to hide a body, or to hide body parts. So between 4 and 4:30 a.m., he decides to drive out there to dispose of her dismembered corpse. Parking near some power lines, he loads up the blue Rubbermaid container onto the sled that he brought along and walks off into the snow up the hill. Reaching the top of the hill with a few inches of snow on the ground, Stephen decides to turn and go down a rather steep incline into the woods. As soon as he starts to go down the hill, the sled flies past him. All the way down the hill, hits a tree, the Rubbermaid container, big piece breaks off, tears his body parts, and torso comes flying out of the Rubbermaid container.
Oh, my God.
While he's running after this thing.
This motherfucker is doing, like, fucking Frosty the Snowman. Yeah.
And this hill was, like, 100 yards long, so imagine this thing flying down the hill and him running after it, trying to catch it.
Like a fucked up football game.
As he put it, it was like the Keystone Cops.
Oh, my gosh.
So, figuring this was as good a place as any, Stephen buries Tara's torso in the snow. Her hands, head, and legs and arms are removed from the container and buried them in the sled together.
Well, he's an idiot because snow melts.
Right. At this time, he also disposes of the blades, rubber gloves, the shoes that he wore when cutting up the body, and throws them throughout the woods in an attempt to hide them.
Not well. I can guarantee it.
Then he went back home, put Tara's truck back in the garage, went in the house, turned on the TV, and waited for Verena and his kids to wake up. He went to work as usual that day like nothing happened.
Okay. God, and like, where's Tara's friends? Where's her family?
Well, nobody suspected anything yet. It's just the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's see here. We are on Tuesday afternoon. Stephen tells Verena that he's going to go out running. Now, remember, they lived right by this park.
Right.
I mean, when I say park and Metro Park, think about a state park or something like that. It's huge. So realizing that leaving a bright blue container out by the body could lead into someone discovering his horrific crime and his poor attempt at hiding the body parts, Stephen knew he had to do something. Parking at the trailhead, he grabbed some rubber gloves, razor blades to cut open the bags that Tara's parts were in, and sets out on a run to go hide the body in a better way.
Oh, my God.
Easily finding the sled, Stephen could not find Tara's torso at first. Panicking and searching, he finally finds it along with the sled and the other parts. Loading everything back onto the sled, he walks to the lower ground about a quarter mile into the woods. Digging into the snow under some fallen trees, Stephen removes everything from the plastic bags and hides them again. He then proceeds to throw his hat, gloves, and leggings that he wore over his jogging pants into the river to rid them before he went home. But before going home, he stops at the Clinton Township Police Station to pay over $900 in traffic tickets.
All right.
So, yeah, it's just business as usual for him. But he figured he'd pay the parking tickets or the speeding tickets and everything else. That way it wouldn't give the police any reason to come searching for him.
Right. Surprised he didn't have a warrant already.
Right. Wednesday morning, the fifth day after the senseless murder, Stephen drives around the Metro Detroit area and throws away all the bags, destroyed computer, Tara's briefcase, and paperwork in various apartment dumpsters. Thinking he has sufficiently covered his tracks, and this is on Valentine's Day, Stephen calls the police to report Tara missing. Detective showed up to his house to ask him questions about his disappearance, or her disappearance. He tells him the same thing he tells Verena, that Tara came home Friday, they argued, then she left in a dark car that pulled up to the end of the driveway. After a few questions, the detectives left, saying they'll be in contact with Stephen. Now, by this time, everybody knows, his family, everybody knows.
Right.
You know, that she is missing. So, Thursday morning, Stephen retains a lawyer.
That's not sketch at all, Stephen.
No. On the way home from the lawyer's office, Stephen gets a call from Verena. She tells him the police are there and looking for him. He ends up getting pulled over and arrested, but for a suspended license from the $900 in tickets that he just paid off. He ends up spending the night in jail. Cops still don't think he killed her. For the next week, the police search for Tara, asking for tips and pleading for information on her. So we're looking at a week and a half that she's been missing, or that she's been dead.
Yeah.
On the following Wednesday, On the following Wednesday, a week and a half after Tara went missing, the county sheriff announces that they are going to search the park the following Saturday where Stephen had hidden the body.
I can't believe that wasn't, like, number one on their radar.
Right?
Right next to her house. Like, it's not even, like, it's out of the way.
So, waking up and leaving the house at 3:30 a.m.
Is this a big park?
Yeah, I told you, it's huge.
I mean, you said it was huge, but it's still, like, I don't know. Anyway, continue.
Well, it's woods. People can hunt there and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So it is a pretty significant thing. Okay.
But it's also a family park, too. They have family areas. They have a creek running through there.
Got it.
So waking up and leaving the house at 3:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, the day of the search, Stephen heads back out to retrieve Tara's body. Living in close proximity to the park, he runs from his house to where he hid the body. Locating her frozen torso in the freshly fallen snow, he carries it on his back in a bag to a place where he could retrieve it with his truck, leaving the rest of her body parts, including her head, back in the park. Because they were buried at this point.
Just her torso was not buried?
Right.
This motherfucker's like...
His torso was under some fallen trees.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so... Getting Tara's truck again, he headed out for coffee, and picking up the torso, took it back to his father's machine shop and hid it back above the offices in another Tupperware container.
So now her body's in his dad's machine shop.
Yep, above the office, in a container, in a storage tote, again. But his plan had worked. After searching the park all day, no one found any of Tara's body parts. Tara's torso stayed in the machine shop for almost another week in garbage bags above the shop offices. Stephen was ecstatic, thinking that he pulled it off and gotten away with it, but he still had to dispose of the torso. Removing it from the shop, he took it home, put her torso into another green Rubbermaid container, then slid it behind his truck in the garage. He had no idea what to do with it. On Friday, Stephen went to work as usual, a full 2 weeks after murdering his wife.
With a fucking decomposing torso, just chilling
just
with him.
Just chilling in his garage.
My emotional support dead wife's torso.
Then he was pulled over on the way home and asked to go home. The police want to search the house. So, with the officer driving him to the house, he went home.
He's got the torso in the house.
He went home, talked to some detectives. They hadn't found it yet. He grabbed his keys, and they allowed him to leave to walk the dog. Someone picks him up, a friend, relative. The confession at this part is redacted, so they didn't tell who the name was of the person that picked him up.
Okay.
This person took Marina.
I'm just kidding.
This person took him to their house and loaned him a 4x4 truck. So he turned his phone off, figuring the police could track him. You know, at this point, he's gone. You know, the police are still searching his house. And he was just supposed to be taking the dog for a walk. So they don't know that his friend picked him up and gave
him
a truck.
Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. So turning his phone off and figuring the police could track him, he used a prepaid card to call his sister from a payphone to ask if he could borrow a key and get something to drink and drop off his dog. She said she was still in church but agreed so Stephen went to her house. Parking around the block, he snuck off to his sister's house through the condos and backyards, believing that the police were staking out his sister's home waiting for him. After entering the house, he started to think about what he could do. He was looking for her .38 pistol so he could kill himself, knowing that the police were going to find Tara's headless, limbless torso where he stashed it in the garage.
But he's writing this confessional, so the motherfucker didn't succeed in that.
Right. So, not being able to find the gun, he began to search for some pills. He found her Ambien. He figured that would be a good way to go. His sister came home and he kept telling her that he's going to be arrested, but she kept asking, why, Stephen? He told her, if they find one drop of blood, I'm going to prison. Then trading cell phones, Stephen told his sister that he's going to drive around for a little while, then he left. He drove around for hours, thinking of some place to go, some place to kill himself. Then he remembered about Wilderness State Park in northern Michigan.
This motherfucker loves parks.
Yep, right? Well, her family owned a beautiful cabin up there on the lake. And he knew at this time of year, there's no way to get back there, so no one will be there. He figured it was a perfect place to end it all.
What a coward.
So he took a handful of Vicodins that he also took from his sister's house.
My mushroom herd of Viagra.
Nice.
So he took a handful of Viagra and then some Ambien. Bone to death.
Gonna go fall asleep with a boner.
Night night. Got one ready for you, God.
So taking a handful of Vicodins that he had taken from her house, he drove on I-75 north to get to his destination. By this time, the police had found Tara's torso and officially started a manhunt for him.
He didn't like his emotional support murdered wife torso.
Well, after much twists and turns on his drive up there, he wanted to get off I-75, which is a big interstate highway up there, a freeway.
Mm-hmm.
He actually ended up cutting through Camp Grayling, which is like...
that a military?
Yes. Ended up in all these dead-end roads back there, and he just, was hoping the MPs wouldn't come find him because at that point he knew it had been over. But he did finally make it up to Wilderness State Park. Let's see. Where was I? Stupid mushrooms. Then he called his sister to check on the children. The police are able to trace this call to find his location. So drinking whiskey, Bailey's, and taking sleeping pills and Vicodin, he started to walk through the snow, through the woods, in the dead of winter. Cold and extremely fucked up, he called his sister for her to tell the police where to find his body, figuring he'll freeze to death in the woods overnight. Hallucinating from the alcohol and pills, Stephen walked around the woods, talking to the trees, starting and stopping, resting here and there.
Fuck him. That sounds awesome.
Right?
Fuck you,
Well, at this
Steven.
Point, he was shoeless. He had lost his shoes at some point. He had taken them off. And he lost his jacket. At this point, he lays down to die. And all of a sudden, he hears a man shouting for him to get down, motherfucker. They had finally caught him. At 5:30 in the morning. He had walked around the woods all night, suffering from hypothermia and frostbite. They had to airlift him out of the woods by Coast Guard helicopter, where he made a full confession to police the next day in the hospital.
Oh, I didn't get to unalive myself. I just tripped in the woods.
He was sentenced
after murdering my wife. Fuck you.
He was sentenced to 50 years for murdering his wife, Tara Lynn Grant.
Is he still in prison?
Oh, yeah, he's still in prison.
How old is he now?
I couldn't tell you.
Fuck.
I don't know his age.
So he didn't get life? He just got 50 years?
50 years.
Por qué?
Wasn't premeditated?
It sounds a little premeditated to me. He was chilling.
Well, the charges were mutilating a corpse, second-degree murder, I think.
And you're telling me he didn't fuck his dead wife?
No, what do you mean? He
was naked for a long time.
He didn't have time to fuck his dead wife.
I think he fucked her. I think the sick fuck fucked her.
I don't think so.
That's a new tongue twister. The sick fuck fucked her. Say that 5 times fast. Fuck, man. R.I.P. Tara, right?
Right.
And she didn't deserve that. She was doing boss moves, making bread. Probably getting a little ass from Lou. Maybe not, honestly. But she was trying to do her best. Meanwhile, her fuck face of a fucker was fucking the 19-year-old, bitching and complaining about her being away for the weekend. and potentially cheating on her with Lou while he was literally fucking the nanny. Toxic masculinity is like not even the word for it. There's it's beyond.
Yeah, but he was found guilty of second degree murder and mutilation of a corpse and got the minimum 50 years. And he was denied parole in 2015.
How old were his kids?
3 and 7 at the time.
No, I wonder who's raising them. Vervina.
Well, let's see. She would be 50 right now. So I would say now he's probably got to be mid-50s if he was older.
Yeah, probably the same age.
Yep. So that's my story.
Wow. God. Fuck you, Steven. Fuck you.
Well, hopefully you guys liked that. You know, that was...
I know I did.
Yeah, so I don't know if we'll do it again. It was a lot of work. I really enjoyed doing the work, so maybe we'll do it again.
Maybe I'll do a murder next time. Maybe we won't. Maybe we will. Who knows? We have a lot of topics we want to kind of cover. We have a lot of friends that still want to hang out with us.
Right.
But for now...
We're not here for a long time.
We're here for a good time, bitches. Don't murder your wives, assholes.